Swish, swash, swish, swashy, swishy, swashy, swish. It's the news according to me. Sloshing around here. We got the 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's like I'm starting on a schedule. 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. Year's half over. We have, this is hump month, they call it. I don't know, nobody calls it that. I call it that. I'm just trying to make something up. Yeah, wishy-washy Wednesday we call it. That's why the swishy-swashy stuff was going on. We have a few things to talk about today. There's a lot of things I didn't talk about yesterday that I was going to talk about today. And obviously this show is not live. It's not live, by the way. Unless I decide to play it live, I can premiere it live, but I don't think I'm going to do that. It's one of those things, and this happens on YouTube a lot. Premiere show, whatever, they do this on YouTube. It's this new thing you can do. It's not really that new. It's been doing it for over a year, I think. Or you can produce your video, and then what you do is you premiere it. So you put it on, and it comes on live. Everybody gets announcements and everything, and it comes on as this big premiere thing. And it's portrayed as a live broadcast, and it kind of is. You have live comments you can do all kinds of stuff, but it's actually a recording, which might work well with my situation because of the ability to get feedback. It's hard for me to do a live show and actually respond and talk to the audience, only because I typically am on a roll. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that roll means I'm rolling off into a bunny trail somewhere, going down a rabbit hole into the abyss somewhere. I never know where I'm going to go with the show, but I have to follow follow my heart. I just have to go wherever it goes. And obviously it's a random piece of flesh within my soul. So let's change the subject. What's in my cup? Hey, Kevin, what's in your cup? Okay, this is, surprise, I got chai with Almond Joy Creamer. I'm in a rut. This is officially a rut now. If you've ever heard the show before, you probably wouldn't even have to ask that question. My backup cup, of course, again, for today and probably tomorrow, it is homemade sweet tea with fresh cut peaches in it. It's the perfect summer drink. In my opinion, for me, anyway, it's my backup cup. Of course, I got a bottle of water here, but I just looks kind of boring sitting there. All right, we got a few things to talk about. By the way, you can call the show. You can email the show. You can't email the show. Yeah, I guess I think you can actually email the show somehow. It's probably in the description there somewhere. But it's more fun to text the show or call the show and leave a voicemail. If you leave a voicemail, you might get on the show. Maybe. It depends on the voicemail. But the number to call or text to is 812-379-8778, 8778. So it's 812-379-8778 or 8778, however you want to say that. And it's if you don't have a phone or you don't have an international calling plan, if you're calling from Nebraska, you know, if you're out of the country and you're calling from Nebraska, the number you can go on to Google.com. I have a nephew that Siri pronounces his name wrong all the time on. Whenever they,
you'll
I get
need to unlock your iPhone first.
See, I mentioned Siri, and now she thinks I'm talking to her. I have this, but the voice recognition, I'll call it that. Voice recognition has a tendency to think that I'm. You don't think your phone's listening to every word you say? They are. The phone is. But once in a while it'll tell me, you know, so and so has left you a text message, and they'll read it for me, or so-and-so sent you a message, or messenger is going to message, whatever. And so it'll let me know. But it pronounces his name wrong, which is always kind of funny. But that whole thing about the Google thing kind of reminded me of it because of the way it pronounces his name. Anyway, So google.com/voice, if you want to leave a message for the crew here, the production crew. And my producer, the production crew will give it to the director, and the director will give it to the producer. Producer will pass that along then to the in studio personnel. Those in studio personnel then will compile it, review it, screen it, thoroughly look over that whole thing, and then edit it for any particular sound issues that it might have. Or grammatical spelling, if it's a text. And they'll possibly post it on the show, or they'll give it to me, and I'll ignore it. That's what'll happen. By the way, it's the news according to me. It's not the news according to you. So I really do care about your opinions. I want to hear what you think about what my topics are. Maybe you have better opinions than I do, and it should be news according to you. Wouldn't that be great? To change the name of the show at some point and to call it the news according to you and not the news according to me. So it would just be everybody calling in, texting in their opinions of the news. I'm just here to just moderate the whole thing. I have to change the name of the show. Or it could be the name, news according to me, but the me is you. So you understand what I'm saying? It's me and you to me. Who's on first? So that's there you go. That's the thing. Now let's get into some content here. Even though there's no advertising here. 8-1-2-3-7-9-87-78. The call now. But wait, there's a. I think I can't remember what I talked about yesterday. There's a few things I didn't get to talk about, and I want to talk about some more things. I want to talk about. I don't know if I talked about the polls yesterday. I think I did. I might have talked about them the day before. I might have talked about these things on Monday. The polls, of course. Now we're hearing from some of these. I think it was somebody from the New York Times or New York Post or whatever it is, Washington Post. Whatever it was, some kind of publication. Where now they're saying that the racket you hear in the background. By the way, it's my dog. The poll. They're saying now that the polls. Are the reason that the polls are still up and still good for Donald Trump? The reason they haven't, he's still showing such a favorable rating in the polls, which by the way doesn't explain the Democrats' polls. There are polls that are hitting 14% approval in the Democrat Party right now, and I want to talk about that. Who's leading the Democrat Party? We'll talk about that in a little bit, but because that's a big question. But these polls, the polls are still showing favorable and increasing now for Donald Trump, and their heads are exploding. They can't. So their excuse is, well, people just aren't paying attention. People aren't paying attention. Were they paying attention during the Biden administration at all? Maybe like the news media wasn't paying attention to what Joe's cognitive abilities were during the Biden administration. What kind of not paying attention? First of all, you're demeaning all these people by saying that they're not paying attention. They're just ignorant. They're stupid. People are ignorant. They don't. They're willfully, woefully ignorant, and they just don't understand what's going on. The Democrats aren't messaging properly. We just need to get our message out there. Well, their only message is negative Trump stuff. It's just Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad, all day long. Oh, Trump did it. He's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Biden did it. Oh, it's good. But Trump did it. Bad, bad, bad. And I think nation's got really grown weary of this. And I think it's just, after how many years can you do that? How many times can you campaign on Trump bad? And it just after a while, it just bounces off of you like, you know what? I mean, and who's winning people from one side or the other? Initially there was a lot of establishment Republicans, like people like Michael Steele. who was the head of the RNC, which should tell you something. He is now full-blown Democrat demagogue. I mean, this guy has gone. He didn't just, you know, become a Democrat and walk off quietly into the night. He is full-blown promotional guy for the Democrat Party. How do you go from policy? Look, the policy differences between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party are so extraordinarily vast as far as the chasm between the two is incredible. How you just flip parties like that, and it just amazes me. To be a leader in the party, that's one. To be a commentator is one thing. I think they just lost another senator on the left. Some other lady just now just left maybe it was a governor. Might have been a governor. Who has now switched parties again. Not again, but just another one has switched parties because they're just determined that, you know, the Democrat, they've been waning in being in the center, trying to be a centrist the whole time. And of course, they're at the point where they've had it. It's a total all in for the Republican Party. And I think it has something to do with the movement of the Democrat Party. And that's what, I guess, surprises me the most about Steele. To be the head of the RNC, which is a fairly predominant, you know, I don't know if you notice it or not, but that's a fairly predominant position to be in. That means you're all in with the Republican Party. That means you should be the top, you know, strategist approving everything that goes through and obviously he was not all in. You know, if this is the kind of situation we're running into here, it's just, yeah. So we have, this is the kind of thing that's going on. It just tells me that the guy was never really Republican. He was just, and again, the DEI thing probably had more to do with him being in position than anything. But that's what you get, I guess. onward and upward. Not that the polls really matter that much, but these, you know, their heads are popping off because they don't understand how this could possibly be happening. And of course, I have to say, well, there's a reason it's happening, and it's obviously you just don't understand. But the point I'm trying to make here at the bottom line is that the Democrats continue to lie to themselves. That they're not lying about the polls. They'll say something like this. They're giving themselves an excuse, a way out, by saying, well, they're just uninformed. They're just not paying attention. Oh, okay. So we're all aloof. We're not paying attention. We're not paying attention to you because you keep telling us lies. And I'm compiling a list. I'm going to have an entire show once at some point, simply based on all the lies that the left has told us over the last 10 years. Everything from Hillary's going to win the election. Donald Trump's, you know, he's a joke. He's not going to win the election. Hillary Clinton's in, she's winning the election. Everything from even before that, all during the campaign, all the things that we heard about Russia, that all the stuff that was going on there. after the campaign, I should say, after the election, after he won the election, it was Russia. Everything after that, all the different conspiracies against Donald Trump, everything, all the things that they said, the economy, everything that they told us. And then you get into COVID, all the lies that we heard about there. If you think it was in a lab, you're a conspiracy theorist and you should be banished from the internet. And the next thing you know is, well, it came from a lab. All the different conspiracies that they told us were conspiracy theories, that you were a wacko, psycho, QAnon individual if you believed any of these things, that turned out to be true. That list is a mile long. It's not as long as my arm. I've got really short arms. I've got dinosaur arms. But the the issue is that they just continue to lie about all this stuff. Now, that was how many years ago was that? That was 5 years ago. Then you get into the Biden administration and all the lies we heard all that time. And of course, the running lie was Joe's out of his mind and they wouldn't have anything to do with that. Oh, no, look at him. He's out riding a bicycle. Oops, he fell over. Never mind. Just look at the next thing. Oh, he tripped down the stairs. He tripped up the stairs. Oh, he fell down on stage. Whatever. Look how fit he is. We're not talking about his physical fitness. Okay, that was also an issue, actually, come to find out. And you can't tell me that they didn't know about this. And it's just there's a guy that's being used and abused. And now there's the whole issue. I do want to get on. There's a side issue about this whole thing about Jill Biden. She has a chief of staff, and they are talking about something. When they mentioned this guy and started talking about all the stuff that he was behind the scenes, Jill Biden was running the show. There were times that Jill Biden was on quote Air Force One, the actual plane they normally use, 747, by herself. Joe wasn't even on the plane. Her chief of staff was. Her chief of staff, not Biden's. There's a scandal here, folks, it goes beyond Joe Biden and his ability to understand what was happening around him. But it is on the Jill Biden side. Now they're talking about going after Jill for elder abuse. I think that's stupid. Yeah, it was an abusive situation because they were using him and they kept propping him up and kept, you know, because they had to keep the puppet, you know, the suit filled with his body to get, you know, it kept moving him along so that all the minions in the background who were actually running the show could and now the question is who was actually running the show? And there is some speculation. There's a lot of different really good people, pundits who've not necessarily pundits, but people who do a lot of research in the backgrounds, what's going on. There were some lawyers on the team of the Biden team, which were actually a part of the Jill Biden entourage, who apparently were doing a lot of the actual implementation of a lot of things that were going on. And my guess is because they're looking at this whole auto pen thing, and apparently that's where they've kind of the trail has led to some of these people who are behind the whole Jill Biden thing. So the Jill Biden thing has to do more with the chief of staff. I can't remember the guy's name, but let's just say that there's it's very questionable relationships there. I might get into that. Probably won't be tomorrow. I'm going to be doing some more research on it over the weekend and then through the week. Very good possibility there won't be a show on Friday. Might be, but I doubt it. If there is, it'd be a very, very unlikely that I'd have a show on Friday. I will be remote. I'll be out in Virginia, close to D.C., closer to D.C., but unable to do a show. So we have quite a few things going on. One of the things I want to talk about is this entire issue with this Mohammed, is it Mohammed Solomon, whatever his name is. This guy who did this attack out in Colorado. Of course, now they're finding out that, of course, yes, he was deliberately attacking people. In fact, one of the people that he attacked, I think an 88-year-old lady or 80-something-year-old lady, was a Holocaust survivor, obviously a child when it happened. And I think she sustained some of the worst injuries, but she, it was obviously an attack against I guess they had this was a weekly event that they had, for raising awareness or doing whatever they were doing, I'm not sure what they were trying to raise, but I don't know if they're raising funds or just raising awareness. Or just a place for people to come together. But there was some kind of walk run type thing in the park there for the Jewish community. And of course, this guy shows up and it's kind of like a flamethrower type thing initially. And then he also has these Molotov cocktails. Molotov cocktails are just, they're glass bottles, typically wine or some kind of, it didn't look like wine bottles to me. It looked like vodka bottles or something, but he was using some kind of bottles. You put a rag in them, you light the top, you kind of close it off at the top, and then you light the rag at the top, like a wick type thing. You throw it, of course, the glass breaks, and the flame is there. It all lights up, and, you know, there we go. But then there's some kind of flamethrower too. Like somebody said something about flamethrower. Now they might have just been confusing Molotov cocktails with flamethrower. I don't know. That's a possibility because people are very ignorant about that kind of thing. The point is, this guy was obviously doing this. Of course, the local police now have finally confessed and admitted that yeah, okay, it was a targeted terrorist attack. This guy was in the country illegally. He was on an overstayed visa, and he ended up. Of course, becoming right now, the media is all upset. The media is all upset now because they're going to deport this guy. He should just be in prison here. I don't know why you're going to let the guy. You can put him in prison, make him serve his time, and then deport him somewhere. Deport him to some country where they're going to just let him out again, call him a hero. So the ended up. They're going to deport him and his parents, or not his parents, his family, his wife and kids, to deport them all. Oh my goodness, they're deporting children now. Yeah. When you commit a crime like that, your family's gone. You're gone. Sorry. That's the way it works. In fact, he waited until his daughter graduated. He wanted to make sure he went to the graduation. And then that's how heinous this is. This wasn't just an act of passion. This was an act of deliberate planning. It wasn't like something he just, you know, got mad one day and just spat on somebody. It was something much more than that. That whole thing is, of course, the right is making a little bit more out of it than it probably is, should be, but it still is a big deal. Now, here's a question for you. Who do you think is leading the Democrat Party right now? Because I have no idea. Everybody's vying for the spot, the top spot. Of course, everybody's eligible is looking for the presidential candidate, you know, type thing. They're going to run for president. Some of them aren't serious. Some of them are disingenuous. But I think the biggest issue here is. Who's really rising to the top of the Democrat Party right now? Now, of course, Joaquin, whatever his name is, Mr. Jeffries, Speaker Jeffries, one of the most boring individuals to listen to talk. He talks in two-word blasts. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's just, and then we are going to put emphasis on every single word. It's when he talks, it drives me absolutely insane. I don't know how anybody around, if he talks that way to people around him, I would simply have to just walk out. There's no way I could sit down and have lunch with this guy if he's going to talk like that. It's impossible. I'm sorry, but I cannot listen to you. You are your frequency is not going to fit with my ears. I can't. It won't work. Yeah, we'll just have to exchange emails or something. I don't know. I wonder if he sends emails that way. Just sends an email with two words. Another email with another two words. Anyway, So I don't think he's vying for president. He's not presidential material, even though he thinks he is. Then you got Cory Booker. Now, I don't understand who is this guy? He comes across like he's Mr. Likeable. And I think he could be a very likable individual if he would just have a clue. Here again, we got this guy that walks out to have a filibuster in the middle of about nothing. He wasn't filibustering anything. That's what was weird about it. I'm going to have a 24-hour speech. I'm going to break Thurman's record. And I thought Rand Paul did that. I thought he did like a big long filibuster at one point. But I guess that didn't count. I don't know, because now Cory Booker does one that it had nothing to do with anything. It wasn't actually even a filibuster. It wasn't anything being proposed. He just decides to speak on the Hill for 25, 26 hours or whatever it was. And then he has this weird thing that happened out on the Capitol stairs or something? Where they did this, or was it a stadium? I don't know where they did this thing. We're just sitting on a step somewhere. Him and about half a dozen or so other politicians, they're congressmen, congresspeople, were out there off and on. Well, they had this vigil. They're all getting together and talking. And, you know, I think they were hoping that something grassroots would start out of that. I think that the plan was, let's just go out there and start something. Let's just start talking and say we're not going to leave and see what it turns into. Well, it turned into nothing. It was a nothing burger to begin with, and it turned out to be a nothing burger with no nothing in it. It wasn't even a sandwich. There was not even any bun there. It was just... So they ended up talking. And here's the way it works in the political world. For those of you who haven't figured this out yet, what you do is you go out and you get this high popularity rate. So the Democrat Party runs basically like any high school class election. Now, I don't mean any disrespect to those who were in my class in high school or anything. If you're a class president or if you're the class, you know, whatever. I was the class clown. I was voted most likely to be the least successful individual. I wasn't even voted to be anything. I was voted to be who's that? Who was that guy? Nobody. So the did he even graduate in our class? I don't even, who was that guy? I graduated number two in my class. It was a class of 92 people in my class, my senior graduating class. 92 people. Whopping huge class. And I graduated number two from the bottom. I was, my grade average was, there was one guy who was lower than me. He was a guy who unfortunately was in the drug world. He was pretty much a drug head. We called him pothead. My grade point average was extremely low. Everybody was excited. Nobody realizes that about me. I went to a graduation, or what was it? It was a anniversary. What was it? Our 20th anniversary. I think it was a 20 class reunion. And it's not an anniversary, it's a reunion. I told people that, and nobody believed me. Of course, that's not something I was proud of at the time, so I didn't, you know, walk around with a big sign on my head. Hey, I'm number 91 out of 92. Because I was active in school. I was in band. I got straight A's in band and straight A's in shop class. I was terrible in English. I just couldn't stand class. I liked the teacher. That was one of those weird things where I liked the teacher, just couldn't stand class. And then there was math. I did a bad job. Algebra 1 was bad. I was top of the class. In seventh grade, I was straight A's in math. In eighth grade math, I was a D-. There's no difference between seventh grade math and eighth grade math, by the way. It's the same thing. The difference was the teacher. In seventh grade math, I had a teacher who, if you looked anywhere but the board or at your desk, you were going to be standing in the back of the room. He was a very strict individual. He was very thorough, very clear. You did your assignments or you were in big trouble. Like you literally. There were very smart, intelligent individuals in the room who were doing very poorly in that class. Me and two other people, I think the valedictorian of the class actually was sitting behind me. I think she was sitting behind me. I think she was copying off my papers. I think she's the valedictorian of our class, or one of them. I think she was maybe the only one. And she, her, and then there was a neighbor, my neighbor friend, wasn't really much of a friend, but he was at the time. But he was sitting in front of me. Every time the teacher asked a question, all three of us, our arms went up every time there was a question. We knew the answer. He kept my attention out of fear mostly, but it was still, I kept my attention. Wasn't the best way for me to learn, but I actually started enjoying learning the math. I was looking forward to math in eighth grade. The teacher was completely, for someone who had ADD at the time, and I didn't, there was too much going on in class. There was people getting up, walking around, combing their hair, doing all this, talking to each other, passing notes around, flapping around, all this, just too much activity in the class. I couldn't stand it. I was incredibly distracted by everything that was going on. And I didn't do well. I went into Algebra 1, and I got lost. The teacher was not, it was a good teacher, very, very nice guy, very good guy. He understood Algebra very well. Now, Algebra 2 teacher was, I actually did okay in Algebra 1. I actually made it through that class. Didn't do so well. I was probably B minus C, somewhere in there. In my class in Algebra 2, the teacher was actually a very brilliant man and a very nice guy, a very good guy. He was a Christian. And the problem was you could come up with an answer and have the right answer. The problem was you didn't do it the way he wanted you to, and so therefore you'd get it wrong. You're wrong. You're not wrong because you got the answer wrong. You're wrong because you didn't do it his way. A buddy of mine, actually, who was really into math and ended up becoming an engineer, did very well for himself. He ended up, he had his parents involved in a situation where he was taking a test, and he had this answer that was wrong. And the reason it was wrong is because he didn't do it. When he showed his work, didn't do it the way the teacher wanted to. And so he ended up going down. Parents got involved in this whole thing. He ended up winning that battle. But that's the kind of guy he was. He wasn't mean about it. He just wanted to, he wants you to do the formula his way. It's the way he wants you to do the formula. And it was just frustrating for some individuals who had, they could think beyond that. And I think that's kind of almost a negative learning situation, experience. Okay, so we have... who's leading the Democrat Party? I can guarantee it's nobody from my high school class. And that I know. That's why I had to go down the bunny trail. Hopefully most of you are falling asleep by now. So the way this works, and I'm going to go through this systemically, as they like to say now. Yeah, the popularity thing. That's how I got down the thing with. So the class, when we voted for class officers, it was obviously a popularity contest. Who's the most popular? They're going to be the class president. Who's the most popular? They're going to be the second. Of course, there were all the other offices were just, who knows what. And it was the elites in the class, the who's who of our class got to be the president and they knew nothing about leadership. They knew nothing about whatever. They were just popular athletes or whatever they were. Had nothing to do with anything other than popularity. Well, that's what the Democrat Party runs on. That they run on emotion, first of all. That is the party of the emotion. How you feel about something is the way it is. They will even scoff and make fun of somebody who brings up statistics. Oh, statistics, whatever. Oh, statistics. Ah, you and your statistics. Oh, your numbers. AOC recently said something about to the effect of, oh, you like to
bring up facts, but the facts sometimes are contrary to the way things really are.
What?
They may have facts, but we have feelings.
What? Basically is what she was saying. Of course, Ben Shapiro, he comes out and says facts don't care about your feelings. Very famous statement by him, by the way. I'm not sure he's the one who originally said it. I think he's quoting somebody. Facts don't care about your feelings. And that is really at the core of a lot of things. Now, of course, they can say, well, you know, you can twist the facts to match what you want them to say. Not necessarily. If you look at them objectively, if you have an objective ability to look at facts and actually call facts, real facts, what they really are. You can't just say 2 + 2 = 5 and that's the facts. That's the fact. Because the consensus is widely accepted. Well, it's because everybody's saying that because they're under the gun. They're actually literally, you know, you'll be killed if you don't say 2 + 2 = 5. That's what it boils down to. If you ever watched 1984, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But that's good tea. That's some good tea right there. You know, the longer the peaches sit in the pitcher, the more peachy it becomes. It just becomes, it kind of has this permeating taste. It just becomes more refreshing as time goes on. Yeah, even the chai's good too. I just want to keep you up to date on the drink situation here. So that's what's happening right now with the Democrat Party. They're trying to come up with a core issue. Somebody's trying to. They don't come up with a policy platform. They're coming up with a popularity thing. What can I do to make myself popular to gain some momentum going into the 2026 and 2028 election season? They're pretty much always running for election now. That's I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but the election could just be just over with, and then everybody starts campaigning for the next election. Everybody starts posturing and positioning for the next election. It's all they care about is their job position. They don't care about policy. They don't care about the service that they have to do while they're there. And basically, the only service they have to do is to vote. That's their main thing. Other than being on a committee or whatever they're going to do something like that. Even those are kind of wishy-washy, you know. There's not really any serious understanding of what the nation really is concerned about. And I think one of the things that Donald Trump is doing right now, which is driving them nuts, is he's basically looking for things that will work. He's not really necessarily looking for left or right issues. He's just looking for, where's the nation at on this? And let's just move forward with trying to get this accomplished. And I think there's some places where he's pushing back because the perception is, just like this whole tariff thing, you know, people were all upset. The media was all upset about the tariffs. They still are. And they're still saying things that are untrue. I just heard a debate going on between Scott Jennings and somebody on CNN the other day. This lady's going on and on about it. And he was confronting this lady. She was saying, there's violent people on both sides. There's violent people on both sides. He said, well, name one person that's a violent person on the right. Oh, come on now. She starts going on with this whole thing. I can probably play this. I want to see if I can find this because it really is very telling. I pushed the wrong button. Oopsie, whoopsie. Oh, well. We didn't need Alaska anyway. I just eliminated Alaska. Wrong button. Where did it go? There it is. Okay, history. There we go. It was memology. It's on here somewhere. All right, there it is. Copium. No, that's not it. It's the one before that. But I could possibly go to this and find it here. Let's see if we can find it this way. Here it is. This is Scott Jennings. He's it's interesting how they they portray this whole thing. This is courtesy of Memeology 101. And this is this lady, Tara Palmer.
The left has a problem with Scott Jennings. Violence. It is in its heart right now.
I don't think it is only the left. I mean, you have literally seen people on both sides committing violence. I think that the problem is not the left. I think it is the extremes on both sides of the party. And that is what's happening. Like those.
Okay. Okay. So this is, okay. Like, some people on both sides of the party. Okay. So let's see what she has to say here. And she's claiming people on both sides of the party. It's extremes on both sides of the party. That's the problem. It's the extremes. Well, get some violent people in Congress on the left who are now, you know, committing assault against ICE agents and everything other against security, whatever.
They're the loudest voices, whether the leaders want them or not. And they're the ones who tend to be the most violent. I don't think that's fair to say it's only the left. I mean,
But why is it happening? Why do late night comedians go on TV and encourage or coddle or give lip service to this? This vandalism of what went on with Tesla dealerships and so on. Why are there so many prominent people?
People didn't get hurt.
I totally get why.
Now listen, she says people didn't get hurt because nobody. So if somebody died. She's still going back to January 6th on this. This is where she's going back to because she can't say anything about the last 5 years. It's January 6th. So let's go back. Let's go back again.
What went on with Tesla dealerships and so on? Why are there so many prominent people?
People didn't get hurt.
I totally get why Luigi Mangini didn't murder. Like, why?
Someone died on January 6th. People did get hurt in the Tesla bombings, by the way. Tesla fires. There were people that were injured. There have been people injured. This is like saying that the George Floyd riots didn't, you know, nobody. George Floyd was the only one who died. There were like 26 people killed in the riots that ensued afterwards. Several police officers, well, one of them was a retired police officer. $2 billion in damage was done to the nation. Hundreds of people injured in those riots. Don't tell me that has that has nothing to do with the Democrat Party. So she goes on and on about this whole thing with the January 6th, she goes, January 6th, somebody died. Let's listen to that again.
People didn't get hurt.
Someone
died on January 6th. Listen, I'm not for vandalism, but like...
It's more than that. They firebomb these things. Like it's obviously...
It's dangerous, but it's happening on both sides.
It's happening on both sides. Now, Scott asks the quintessential question here.
But it's happening on both sides.
What person on the right is committing violence today?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, when you're in power, you don't tend to be the ones that are doing that. But I think...
When you're in power, you're not the ones that do that. When you're in power, you're not the ones... You tend to be the ones that are not doing that. Okay.
After they lost the election in 2020, there was a mob and a person died.
A person didn't die that day. None of the police officers died that day. And yet that is the continuing rhetoric that continues to go out there. Sicknick did not die that day. He died 2 days later, and it was from a stroke. He had other issues. And they laid his body in the rotunda. Because Nancy Pelosi, we have to put his body there. Oh, this is... They used his dead body. If I'd have been a family member, I would have said, you are absolutely not doing this with my brother, my whoever. Not allowing that. It was just a blatant, flagrant use of a dead body, of all things. To use it as a political pawn.
It was a riot at the Capitol. It was crazy.
It was a terrible day. It should not have happened.
It was a horrible day. Let me just check my calendar.
And it was 5.5 years ago.
Can we also talk about the fact that someone broke into Nancy Pelosi's house and violently beat up her husband?
You're saying that homeless drug addict is a conservative?
Well, I mean, why do you think she was targeted?
Why do I think a crazy, literal, crazy homeless person in San Francisco did something? I couldn't begin to tell you, but I know it's this. They weren't coming to the Republican Party.
People on both sides have faced assassination attempts. This is a...
People on both sides have faced assassination attempts. Wait, really? Who got shot at? People on both sides. People on both sides. It's people on both sides. Let's change the subject.
It's not just a singular party thing. And I don't buy that. Like, it's just not. It's not a singular party thing.
I don't buy it. It's not a singular party thing. I'm just going to keep saying it because I'm going to keep saying it louder because I don't have any statistics or facts to back anything up. I just want to make sure it's both sides. Both sides.
There are radicals on the left and there are radicals on the right.
What person on the right is committing violence today?
Oh my.
Sorry, they go on the other. And this is the point. They can't and they won't admit to anything because they are continuing to deceive themselves. Self-deception is a very real thing, folks. And it's a very dangerous thing. And it's, like I've said many times, the left has no introspect. They have no ability to be self-aware. And they simply blame all their problems on someone else. They can blatantly do something wrong, intentionally do something wrong. And when they find out that it was wrong, they turn around and blame someone else for it. It is amazing to me. It's not that amazing. It's kind of human nature is the way we kind of are. But it tells you something about the maturity of the left, the party of the left, the Democrats. There's been some interesting studies about the brain synapses, all kinds of things going on with the development of your brain. Normally, in normal individuals, the average person, typically by the time they're 25, they basically develop their brain is kind of fully functioning, developing, has fully developed. And from the time of between 25 and 35, you are at your highest cognitive levels. It is interesting that at that point, somewhere in that point, most people move from leftist, Democrat, liberal ideas, what would be considered liberal ideas. And I mean liberal in the sense of liberation ideas. I mean liberal political ideas, liberal party, to more Republican or libertarian ideals. During that time, that is the biggest shift, is between 25 and 35. When do most college people graduate from college? Before they're 25, typically. Very, very most likely they've graduated before they're 25. When their brains, and this is why Rush Limbaugh used to say their skulls full of mush. These college kids have skulls full of mush. He recognized that the studies on this was basically that the kids have not fully developed in their brains. They're still trying to figure it all out. They're still trying to put all this together. They're still very susceptible to all kinds of input. And this is when the college system, the universities, the political powers that be, the professors, this is when they have their greatest influence on the kids. Can implant all kinds of things in there. Some of them stick. There is some estimation that especially among academics, those who have never left the school system, never left the teaching environment. It's interesting how this works. Now my wife, she got her master's long after she graduated from college and ended up getting her doctorate even longer after that. So it wasn't like she went right into all those programs. Now it's the typical case is that someone who becomes a college professor, typically they go through school, they graduate high school, they go to college, they go to maybe an undergraduate, whatever they do, they go through some kind of program, then they end up going through their master's program right away. They go right from one to the next. sometimes doing two masters. And they usually end up with a doctorate in something related to their field or whatever they're doing. So that then they end up as a teacher. They'll end up as a teacher typically, or they'll end up in a high school situation in the interim while they work on their doctorate, whatever they do. And they end up in a college teaching situation. They never leave academia. There has been some study, not peer-reviewed, by the way. This is all statistical data on development of thought and ideas. And apparently, there is this looping thing that happens inside the thinking of a person, and it becomes this issue of they never escape the circular thinking of the leftist mentality. In other words, socialistic Marxist ideas, they don't even recognize them as that. They don't even see them as being that fundamentally based in Marxist theology and ideology, continues to wrap around in their core thinking. And this is a very interesting theory. It's basically a theory now at this point. Nothing's been proven on this course. It's really very difficult because it's very subjective in some ways. But the statistics are kind of showing that this is kind of what happens with someone who stays in academia, never leaves that world. They might have a part-time job, at a coffee shop or something like that on the side doing something. But they never really leave any kind of other – they don't do anything what you would call productive in society. And I don't mean to say that teachers aren't productive. That's not at all what the problem. But what you're teaching is more you're teaching. Now, if you can do both, if you can develop a skill and then become a teacher, that's one thing. That's kind of what I do. That's a little different than just staying in academia. And there's just the ability to become extremely, there's some people who can do some, I can do a lot of things, but not anything very well. I'm kind of you've heard the term jack of all trades, master of none. That's a saying for a reason. And that's, I'm kind of there. There are people who out there are truly masters in their field. They understand what they're doing very well. And of course, this is the Kruger-Dunn effect or whatever it is, which I wish I had. I really wish I had a video right now. I wish I was doing this on video, because I could kind of draw some explanations of what this is like, or put up some Venn diagrams or something. But if you draw a circle around everything that you know, if you know very little about a subject, and this is unfortunately in our YouTube world now, people will watch one video and think that they know everything there is to know about something, about a subject. This is why I play, when I try to go into a subject or try to delve into something, I will scour everything on YouTube University, everything about it, and try to get every perspective I can, time allowing, and especially this is when you start listening to things in 1.5 or at least 1.25 times the speed, so you can get through this stuff with just the information, because there's a lot of blah, 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 like this show. I would be a blah, blah, blah show. And you get into this stuff and you start to plug in all the data and everything that you've got, so that you become the get the full knowledge, the full basis. And again, it's still got bias. You have to walk into it realizing that. But the more you know, and you keep drawing that circle around the things you know, the larger that circle gets. Well, that circle represents everything on the outside of that circle represents everything you don't know. That circle gets larger. The more you know, the more you don't know, and the more and the circle represents what you realize you don't know. And so the people who know a lot about a particular thing, truly masters in their skill and their whatever it is that they do, realize there's a whole lot they don't know. And they're actually more, they tend to be people who are a little more humble about their skill because they realize there's a lot they don't know. People who know a little bit think that there's very little they don't know because that circle is really small. So they have a tendency to be a little bit overconfident in what they think they know. And they tend to be a little bit they tend to be the most boisterous and most bullying in what they think they know. This is one of those cases, and this is where the left is right now, I think, is and I think Ronald Reagan said it very, very clearly. It's not that my Democrat friends are ignorant. There's just so much that they know that isn't right, isn't correct. They know a lot. It's just a lot of the things that they know are incorrect. Well, something to that effect. And it's almost that way. So the whole point of this is that people like Cory Booker, people like Jasmine Crockett, who else is out there? Jamie Raskin. Just a whole plethora of individuals. Who do I see rising to the top right now? Of the candidates that are out there right now, who do I see rising to the top becoming a candidate in 2028? Gavin Newsom is absolutely one of those individuals on the left. He's trying to position himself as a centrist now. Look at the way he's run California. Look at the mess it is in right now. And yet he's trying to agree that, oh, yeah, there's, you know, yeah, well, that's not fair. This men and women's sport, that's not fair. There needs to be fairness. He's not coming out and saying anything was wrong. He's just saying, it needs to be fair. He's trying to kind of accept and pretend like he's listening to the people on the right. He's not condemning anything he's done. He's not apologizing for anything he's done at all. He's just coming out and, of course, the mayor of L.A. now has all kinds. They've finally spun everything around to where they've got all the answers now on why the reservoirs weren't full and why all this stuff was happening, how these forest fires broke out, all the excuses. They've got all the excuses lined up now. Well, it's under investigation. This whole time, everything was under investigation for months. Everything was under investigation. What that means is they got to come up with a way to put a cap on this. They have to put lipstick on this pig and make it look better because that's what they do. So they spent months not investigating anything. They just, we got to come up with some excuses here. How are we going to spend this? We got time. This is called the investigation part of it. So that's how they do it. It's just one thing after another like that. It's just really ridiculous and very frustrating. The question is, who will be able to rise to the top that right now? And you're going to see a lot of vying for that possibility. And I think the 2026 elections are going to be very telling for the Democrat Party. It's going to position someone in a position to see who's going to be there because they're going to see what's popular and what's not. I think there's a lot of Democrats that are going to lose their seats. Now, if the Republicans don't step up, right now there's no love lost in the Republican Party. Trump supporters right now are not real happy with Mike Johnson. They're not very happy with the Republican Party. They're not really caring. They don't really care for this big, beautiful bill, even though Trump's signing off on it. People are disagreeing with it in a big way. I don't know that much about it. I know that there needs to be further reconciliation. I know there needs to be further cuts. They've got to get these things codified. They've got to get some things done. Part of the problem is that this machine that they call Congress is so bloated and so messed up that even if there's a lot of well-intended people trying to get things done there, it's just almost impossible because of the machine that exists. So that's part of the issue that's going on. It's just the system itself is such a bloated gas bag. It's just amazing how bad it is. But it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be blamed for something, and it's just, I feel bad for the people who really are there and sincerely want to do something different, make a difference. But it's just so difficult to do. So that's where we are today. Wishy-washy Wednesday. I'm all over the place. That's the way it works. coming up on the hour. The call the show. Let me know what you think. Who do you think is going to be the lead of the Democrat Party? And tell me why. Why do you think the leadership, who's leading it now, first of all? And who do you think is going to rise to the top for the 2026, 2028 election, primary election coming up? We'll see. We'll see who it is. In the meantime, text the show or call the show, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. I'd be happy to know. In the meantime, share, like, subscribe, all this stuff. Pass it on, whatever. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Hopefully I'll have a show tomorrow. Take care, and see ya.